TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Saving Redwoods in Northern California, Pomo Indian Perspective. A call for support went out early in 2021. Logging was to begin in a coast redwood forest in Mendocino County that many of us believed was protected, since it is owned by the state of California. The state purchased almost 50,000 acres from a bankrupt logging company in 1949. The Jackson Demonstration State Forest, located between the city of Willits inland and Fort Bragg on the coast, is managed by CAL FIRE. That's the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. Research showed quickly that CAL FIRE, except for a short pause, never stopped logging the land of their second growth coast redwoods. But now, in the age of climate change and devastating forest fires, their timber harvest plans come under intense scrutiny. CAL FIRE claims their logging reduces fire danger. The community and fire ecologists say cutting large second-growth redwoods takes out the trees that are most fire-resistant. They also demand protection for coast redwoods in order to slow down climate change. Redwood trees can live for up to 2,000 years, all the while removing carbon from the air. In early April 2021, two of the biggest redwoods marked for cut were occupied by tree sitters. And as of today, April 27, logging has not yet begun. Meanwhile, something else is holding up the chainsaws, bulldozers, and road builders that are ready to begin logging. The local tribe of Pomo Indians is intervening in the process, since much of the Jackson Demonstration State Forest is on their ancestral land. When this area was an intact old-growth forest, as recently as in the mid-1800s, there existed a network of villages and trails between the coast and the Little Lake Valley inland. My thanks to the radio program Pomo Perspective and the program director of KZYX, Alicia Bales, for permission to rebroadcast a conversation that took place on April 19, 2021. You will hear from a Pomo tribal elder, Priscilla Hunter, and the longtime Indigenous rights attorney, Polly Gervin. Here is some of the opening music by Holly Near.
Listen to the voices of the young children. Listen to the voices of the old women. Listen to the voices of the First Nations. Listen to the voices of the living.
That was Holly Near and Emma's Revolution with Listen to the Voices. I'm Alicia B. Ukiah Studio, and I'm here with Priscilla Hunter, who's an elder and former chairwoman of the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians, founder and director of the Sinkyon Intertribal Wilderness Council, and Polly Gervin, human rights attorney and longtime environmental and indigenous rights activist. They're both founding members of PAEA, which is the Pacific Alliance for Indigenous and Environmental Action, and members of the SAGE Affinity Group, Social, Environmental, Indigenous Justice. We're going to be talking about Coyote Valley's opposition to logging plans proposed in ancestral northern Pomo and Coast Yuki territory that's now called Jackson Demonstration State Forest. CAL FIRE has half a dozen proposed plans to log in the redwoods there, and at least one is approved and ready to start operations. Last week, tree sitters climbed up two of the largest trees in the cut area, and the Mendocino Trail stewards have been organizing to bring attention to the plans for months. And Coyote Valley has recently requested government-to-government consultation with the state of California to discuss the logging. So Priscilla, welcome. Polly, welcome. I'm going to just turn it over to you.
Thank you. That was such a beautiful song. You know, I hear more. Every time I listen to it, I hear more what the words are. Well, I'm honored to be here, and first of all, I be thankful for our ancestors. And Mendocino was a real tough struggle for our ancestors, and I'm really thankful for them to be able to survive, because they knew how to take care of this land and lived on what was here and didn't go out and cut every tree down they can see to make some money. Going up to the state forest, I couldn't believe what I saw. People were telling me that they were cutting there, and I was like, "Nah, that must not be it, because it's state forest, right?" So I always thought it was all protected. So then I went up and seen the total destruction of the trees and the scattered trees that were left over, and learning about how many cultural sites they were destroying. Our ancestors and people ran up to get away from being killed, raped, kids taken away from them, slaughtered. And then they ran up in the mountains, and maybe the thing is they went over to the ocean too, traveled there, lived there. They lived there, and sometimes fear, thinking they were going to be, raided or attacked at any moment. And upon a beautiful place, I'm telling you. But then you think it's all okay, right? I mean, not okay, but you think, our ancestors lived there, and it's the way where people look at churches, right? When that big church burned down in wherever that was, everyone was all sad and, oh, look, there's burning. Oh, no. Oh, no. And I'm like, that's how we feel. Oh, no. Oh, no. They're destroying our villages, disturbing our ancestors. You think that's not going to happen, continue, but yet it continues. They're, attacking our ancestors. They're attacking our ancestors, and you could feel, when I went up there, I could feel the spirits of a cry of our ancestors. I'm telling you. You could feel that, like, and it's very disturbing. Very disturbing. And they put the village sites as a small place, like 100 feet. We only went 100 feet or whatever. We went all over those places. Our ancestors traveled all over. And they're like, well, we can only go this far. That's how far the site went. I'm like, heck no. That whole place is a village site, a cultural site. The whole place. When they put the roads in, kill all the animals, kill all the trees, all the fish, water. Who cares? I want that wood. I want that tree. You know, it says state forest. That means it's a the people's forest. Doesn't just mean the logger forest are cutting. You know, it's time to make the changes. That whatever the governor's saying, gonna make the changes to better and keep our forces, to help us. We want to preserve, put it in a reserve and have a moratorium at this time with no cutting until we have a time to do our studies or research to prove to the governor. We have to call in the governor. Can't go to Cal Fire. I think there's a little conflict there, I would say. We want to do it gracefully and carefully because we're working for the protection of our ancestors and believe it's a sacred place. And so we have to do it spiritually and good, in a good way. You know, but a lot of times it makes you very angry. Very angry. As an Indian person, I get very angry at times. I'm not saying I don't. Because the history is repeating itself with the Indians still. We need the return of all of our artifacts, cultural things, back. And return all of our burial site and even the, I hate to say it right, the remains or that are in the museums. And until that's all complete and done with, this world will not be good. That's what I believe. And that's what the disturbance is happening too, I believe. That the spirit is unrest. And we have a hard struggle with the whole world. Because this one cousin of mine in Tennessee told me that they had this dream catcher. And this one guy had an Indian scalp in the middle of it. Yes. I was like, what? I mean, things like that. With the Heritage Commission, I would like to see become strong here in the protection and what our tribe requests and want to have done. All that. And they have it, well, I don't know. Is it almost time there or what? I mean, I don't want to tell too much, right?
Close to the chest.
We want to preserve, right?
Preserve.
The whole, I don't know how many acres is that.
Over 40,000.
And have a moratorium on this. Until we can work this all out. That's one of our main objectives. You know, and it's a top priority. So, there you have it.
All right, that was Priscilla Hunter. She's the former chairwoman of the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians, and currently the director of the Sinkyone Intertribal Wilderness Council. Thank you.
Chair.
And now Polly Gervin is here to talk more about the government-to-government consultation in Jackson State.
I'd like to first
say that it's my great honor to work with the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians, a tribe that, since I've known them, has historically taken the courage to stand for their sovereignty to the full extent possible. So what we're involved in here, and why we have a special avenue of being able to compel the state to listen to our concerns, is that there are executive orders, both at the federal and state level, that acknowledge the sovereignty of tribes, acknowledge that tribes are nations within a nation, going all the way back to the Worcester versus Georgia seminal case in the Supreme Court that determined that Indian nations are distinct political communities. They're not just citizen, minority status citizens, but indeed nations. So we had to, throughout, I don't know, 30 years ago, we were advocating for the government-to-government consultation process between state and federal governments and tribes. We encountered Ronald Reagan's resistance. He wanted to put all funding to tribes through state block grants. We resisted at the national level and said no under the Constitution, treaties, and executive orders. We have a status higher than states and must be dealt with accordingly. So, and it often takes a while for policy arguments to be implemented, but Coyote Valley is currently at the table in 5 government-to-government consultations to protect the environment, to protect their cultural resources and their artifacts. At the state level, more and more tribes are beginning to utilize this mechanism. So we are happy to be amongst that group, because remember the dishonor of the state of California and the federal government in how they negotiated with Indians historically. There were good faith treaty negotiations in both Hopland and in Lake County, Scotts Valley. The Indians were in those good faith negotiations, were promised all of the acreage around Clear Lake for the extinction of their aboriginal title up here. But of course, those treaties were never honored. The state of California in the gold rush years, thinking gold was everywhere, objected to them, and they were hidden under seal for 50 years. So this is the history, a long legacy of dishonor at the state level that this executive order that we're now currently operating under was a part of trying to rectify the past terrible dealings between the state and tribes. So this is what the mechanism we're using. We are not negotiating with CAL FIRE. We are not consulting with Mike Powers, forest manager. We are discussing with the top brass of every agency that's directed towards protecting our cultural resources, which includes CAL FIRE, which includes the State Office of Historic Preservation, which includes the Department of Fish and Wildlife. This is a consultation between an Indian nation, Coyote Valley, and the state of California. We in these proceedings will be looking at a host of issues. As Priscilla said, our top and priority one is to protect the trees. And we are, as members of Paella, we kept the word action in the description of our organization, because we do support and respect nonviolent direct action where necessary to protect Mother Earth. So we are very happy that tree sitters went up. And to quote Priscilla's great-granddaughter, my beloved Courtney, when she was asked to explain by her cousin, well, what is a tree sitter? She goes, they're babysitters for the trees. We hope to train our children and our tribe that we do listen to the ancestors' cry. We never turn away. And that we hope to heal in what we're doing. It's a big undertaking, but in all sincerity, we are trying to create a historical rebalancing. Because at the same time Priscilla's ancestors were being slaughtered up here, so too were the old redwoods being ravaged. We have so few old redwoods left in this region, maybe like 3%, just like 80% of the local Indians were eradicated by disease and state-sanctioned genocide. So I call these local tribes the remnant survivors of a state-sanctioned genocide, just like the ancient trees. The few left are the remnant survivors of the brutality of the logging industry up here. And we will be looking at clearly the history of this park. We'll be looking at their alleged studies. They keep on saying they're studying forestry by cutting down these trees. They were alleging that clear cuts were scientific research. Well, we just have a different worldview. And I hope that the state will listen to us and will know that we're doing this in a sincere fashion, and that Priscilla feels compelled to do this, to balance, to heal for the ancestors, for the forest, and for the future generation of Indian children. It's a sacred place out there, and there actually are sacred sites. They have been trashed by road building, slash debris going off the side of roads. We will be emphasizing restoration and conservation in this state park and meeting the 30 times 30 standard that the governor has articulated for carbon sequestration purposes. These old trees are greatly necessary in the climate change resistant struggle that we're going to be facing. So we're there for the environment, we're there for our ancestors, and we're there for the children. And we want to thank the environmental movement, particularly EPIC, the Environmental Protection and Information Center, Matt Simmons and Tom Wheeler, who have been very helpful and collaborative with the tribe. They are our regional experts on the Forest Practice Act, and we go back a long way with them, all the way to the EPIC versus Johnson decision, where the Indian Treaty Council, of which Priscilla was on the board, and Sharon Dugan litigated. You can't just go timber harvest plan by timber harvest plan. You have to involve the whole watershed in your analysis. It's called a cumulative impact. And now it was a completely important case, and I'm proud to say that Priscilla was involved in that one too. So we have a long history of collaborating with the environmental movement, and we are continuing with great respect for the tree sitters, for the environmental lawyers, for the Trail Stewards Association. We hope to keep a strong united front, and that is, we are joining all of the forest defenders of Mendocino County. It's a long history and said no compromise in defense of Mother Earth. So we proudly have lived our lives under that slogan and motivation. And it's just lovely. Circles of life, you know, how we all reconnect.
Well, thank you. Can you talk about the cultural sites out there and what is known about the traditional uses of Jackson State and the relationship that Pomo people and other northern tribes had and have with the place?
Well, we can definitely say that there's ancient trails that were used by Priscilla's ancestors for thousands upon thousands of years. And the ridge runners ran those ridges. There are sites. In 1999, they had to inventory the sites. They came up with 22. I'm sure there's been more discovered by bulldozers since then. They have failed to do the work they were required to do under state law. They were made to do an inventory of our sites, but then they were supposed to take proactive measures to protect them, which includes having them listed on the National Register of Historic Places and the California Register of Heritage Places, which gives them an enhanced protection level. None of that, even their very study that they commissioned to say, what should we do now? They never did the follow-up work. So there's a lot of work we have to do under federal and state law to get them more further protected. I would say basically the treatment of the ancestral sites has been destruction. They, in their own commission study, admit that most of them have been seriously impacted by road building and debris being shoved over onto them. And in that commission study, it's called the Betts Study, 1999, the state commissioned, they recommended, the researchers, the people who did the field surveys, recommended that a road study be made, particularly in reference to the protection of, say, of the ancestral sites. They had to come up with modifications in road building, laying some roads to rest to protect the sites. I don't think, though we will find out in government-to-government consultation, my idea is they did nothing. So basically they inventoried, and that's all that I can see was done by the state with no follow-through. So we feel that to mitigate and to heal this, they better come forward with some really helpful solutions on protecting our sites. Because they have been derelict in their duties, and their duties do include the protection of Native American cultural resources. And maybe they're not as obvious as a building, you know, in DC that they're arguing for. This is an entire landscape of sites. And under the National Historic Preservation Act, and also under state law, archaeological sites can be deemed districts, entire districts. Not just site by site. We're going to argue Jackson State Demonstration Forest is an archaeological district, and that as mitigation for the ravaging of the forest and of the sites, I think ongoing years of destruction of sites under bulldozers, they must heed our concerns. We were not at the table. The tribes here were struggling to restore themselves after illegal termination. When all these laws, pro-timber industry, pro-archaeologist, were being crafted. This may be, you know, one of the few times, at least locally, where we're at the table saying, we're here, we want some policy changes, we want some amendments to the Forest Practice Act. We intend to get them. We intend to get them.
This is Pomo Perspective, and in the studio is Polly Gervin, who's an environmental, longtime environmental activist and indigenous rights attorney, and Priscilla Hunter, who is the former chairwoman of the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians and the current chairperson of the Sinkione Intertribal Wilderness Council.
That was Alicia Bales, program director at KZYX Radio, closing the conversation about the future of Jackson Demonstration State Forest in Mendocino County, Northern California. Thanks for permission to rebroadcast. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. While you're there, you can subscribe to weekly free podcasts. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.